It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Carl Ray Polk. He is the president, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, joins us in a moment. Let's look at corn crop emergence. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Now, if we look at our corn emergence numbers, for the most part, emergence is confined to the south. We are seeing a couple percentage points in a few Midwestern states. And then Missouri, where there's some acreage in the south and the boot heel, we see overall emergence in Missouri leading the Midwest at 15%, 1 point ahead of the five-year average of 14%. You have to move really to the south to see where emergence is much higher, 67%, for example, in Texas compared to the five-year average of 58%, 39% emerged in North Carolina versus 42% on average. National number for corn emergence, 5% by April 27th. That compares to the five-year average of 4% and last year's 6%.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we're joined by Carl Ray Polk, Jr. Carl Ray is president of Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA, and is a producer from Lufkin, Texas, in East Texas, and owns Polk Land and Cattle Company. Carl Ray, great to see you.
Great to be with you again, Tony, and you are such a great voice for our industry, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Let's see, since you've become president of TSCRA, you've had no shortage of things to be concerned about, and we'll dig into some of those in just a moment. But before we start, obviously our cow numbers are pretty tight. Our herd numbers are tight. We've been in a contraction, if you will, for quite some time. Some will say it's tied back over to the drought that began. I'm just kind of curious here. Polk land and cattle. I noticed the land is in front of the cattle. What's that mean?
Well, it's, I appreciate you asking that. My great grandfather actually came into East Texas because of timber. His family moved all the way out of eastern Tennessee into eastern Texas, and primarily for the timber. Set up sawmills in the early 1900s and began to acquire property in and around the Neches River corridor in East Texas. First and foremost, my grandfather would say, we are in the grass business. We grow a few trees, and our cattle operation is a byproduct of both. So, thanks for asking that, but we are definitely, stewards of the land.
And being stewards of the land means making sure that whatever you're doing on that is sustainable. And there's a lot of different ways to talk about sustainability. But one of those has simply got to be, you've got to be able to be profitable to continue to do that. Is that important to remember whenever we're just talking about the business itself?
Oh, it's critical. And I'm very fortunate to have both of my sons and my daughter that are not living back on the ranch, but my oldest son is, and we talk frequently about our input costs. I don't have to tell you, you see it every day. I listened to your show today, on the commodities segment. We continue to face, extreme cost as it relates to fertilizer. We, of course, our insurance and just anything you touch that's in our space. Fortunately, good Lord willing, the creek doesn't rise. We've got unbelievable markets right now. I know the market was a little bit in the red today. I hope it's just a blip. But your input costs continue to rise, and we've seen it now for the last 3 years. But fortunately, Tony, for the fact that the market has followed, we're still in a pretty good shape today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Carl Ray Polk. He's a producer from Lufkin, Texas, East Texas, president, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. Big issue right now, the New World screwworm.
Well, I tell you, I had to go back and talk to my dad. I had to go back and talk to family, friends, and a number of our members and multi-generations. You know, this industry is a generational industry. Of course, we have battled brucellosis, and we have battled hoof and mouth, and we have battled fever ticks recently in South Texas. When you and I spoke last year, this industry was faced with the panhandle wildfires here in Texas. Never in my wildest dreams, Tony, in March of 2024, would I expect to be working with a group of folks that are going to now battle the New World screwworm. It has obviously taken years and years to push that screwworm back into Central America, down into Panama. But what we've experienced since September, October of last year was a continued migration. Now, we were fortunate that what was found in Chiapas, Mexico, in November, we were catching some good weather, and it did mitigate some of the spread. But Tony, the concern is we're going into the battle of the summer, and this little screwworm and these flies, they don't stay behind gates, right? And you don't mitigate this risk by moving cattle out of one paddock or out of one pasture or off of one ranch to another. We are all exposed. We are working very hard to work both with Secretary Rollins. In the state of Texas here. I'm in Austin tonight. I'll be in the Capitol tomorrow. We're working with the Animal Health Commission as well as Texas Parks and Wildlife. But we're doing this in stages. We're not going to defeat the New World screwworm, but we hope to push it back down into Central and South America.
For those who don't know this as well, if we do have the New World screwworm start infecting the herd, what's that do? What? How does it affect it? Is it just a small pest and we deal with it and go on, or is this something that could absolutely wreck the industry?
Tony, we were with Secretary Rollins yesterday, and the comment that was a common theme was this is a national security threat. This is a threat to our food chain and beef production. And it's a food security risk. We have been very, an industry that if you look back, Tony, in the last 5, 10, 15 years, we've worked so hard to mitigate any disease. And therefore, we're doing a lot more today as far as production with less head of cattle. This New World screwworm, the flies, it could have a gigantic impact. We estimated here in the state of Texas, it could impact up to $1.8 billion, specifically to cow-calf producers in the state, over $750 million. So big risk. We're working and taking a bite at this apple one bite at a time, but it is going to have to take some quick moves, which we're in the process of a hope of seeing happen with Mexico now. And then we begin looking at ways in which we can further mitigate this by maybe having a fly facility here in Texas.
Now, I heard at that that meeting with the secretary, you were there. I know Clay Mathis from Texas A&M, who was, I believe, a county agent at one time. So here's somebody who definitely knows the industry as well, but hit on the fact that it's not just the cattle industry. If this gets into, you know, deer or elk or whatever else might be out there, then it goes nationwide, and this is really the dam, if you will, stopping the flood. Would you agree?
I would, and it's all mammals. You're right. Clay was there yesterday, along with other representatives from Texas A&M Vet School. Pets, other mammals, wildlife, all wildlife, white-tailed deer primarily in South Texas. But the interesting part to this, Tony, is there's a full generation of cattle producers in our industry that have never touched this. There's a full generation of veterinarians that have never had to address this disease. And back in the 50s and 60s, it was all done by horseback. It was all done by cowboys. And I'm ashamed to say we don't have that manpower. We don't have that ability to be horseback. Some people do 12 hours a day, just treating animals that are cattle that could be impacted. And you have to stop and think about the way in which we dehorn cattle today, way in which we work and wean and castrate calves. Much of that comes into a thought of how are we going to do that in the element of the New World Screwworm.
Our special guest today is Carl Ray Polk, President, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Carl Ray Polk, President, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, producer from Lufkin, Texas, East Texas. All right, New World Screwworm, we've talked about that. What do producers need to do?
I think we need to continue to support Secretary Rollins. She was at our convention 2 weeks ago. We had 30 or 45 minutes to visit with her. She took that back. She was at AM yesterday. We had a good hour with her, including those from the vet school. I really believe, as we said to her yesterday, Texas wants to be the tip of the spear. Texas and Oklahoma will most likely be the first states that are impacted. We hope New Mexico and Arizona stay a little bit free of that. I don't think this is going to come easy, because there is to set up a facility in South Texas is going to be somewhere north of $300 million. We do have a great congressional representative or group of our congressional members from Texas. They're working very closely with USDA. But as we left the meeting yesterday, and as I said a moment ago, you don't close the gate on this, Tony. You don't move cattle from one place to another. We have to work in stages and steps through the facility in Panama, getting the flies into Mexico, pushing them back down, or at least holding them at bay. But I would encourage anyone with questions, reach out to our office, your state association, NCBA, and see what you can do to encourage and help the USDA folks in controlling this.
Again, our special guest is Carl Ray Polk, owner of Polk Land and Cattle in Lufkin, Texas, East Texas, President Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Lower prices received by producers for their commodities on the whole in March. The summary of USDA's latest agricultural prices report. The price index was lower just over 3% from the prior month, a reflection of reductions in both production indexes month over month. The livestock price index decreased 5.7% in March due to an 11% decline in what poultry and egg growers received price-wise, as well as a 6.7% lowering of prices received by dairy producers for their goods. Meanwhile, the crop production index shows a slight decline, 0.7%, from the previous month. Most March crop prices received percentages were lowered by slight amounts. The one significant month-over-month decrease was almost 9% for fruit and tree nut growers. That offset a slight increase for oilseed producers and a 3% rise for growers of hay and upland cotton regarding prices received. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.